It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, Westerns. Later on, we hear tales of the Texas Rangers. But right now, it's Gunsmoke, from December 30th, 1956, on CBS, featuring the Les Crutchfield story, Hound Dog.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Doggone it, Mr. Dillon. One of these here days, I'm just going to shake the dust of Dodge City off of my boots for good.
Sure, I know, Chester. How much you lose this time?
$11.20. Who said anything about losing?
Well, every time you sit in on one of those draw games, the boys whipsaw you and you threaten to pull stakes and leave town.
And one of these times, I'm going to do it, too.
Sure, and the first thing you look for in the next town will be a draw poker table.
Well, maybe I ought to change to stud or blackjack.
Maybe you ought to just keep your money in your pocket. Do you ever think of that?
No, I got a hunch my luck is right on the point of turning, Mr. Dillon.
No?
Well, if I only had, say, $5 or so to get back into the game...
No.
I could be... even if I only had a dollar... Oh, Miss Kitty. Just one single dollar.
You broke, Chester?
Well, yes.
There you go.
Oh, no. Now, I just couldn't think of taking money from a lady, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, well, I'll
take
it.
Except as a loan, maybe I could. Excuse me, Mr. Dillon. I'll pay it back in just a few minutes.
You know, Kitty, you're a born soft touch.
Oh, well, if he needs it, Matt.
It's those sharps over there at the poker table that need it.
Oh, well, he can't get hurt bad on $1.
Chester's hurt bad when he loses 10 cents.
Yeah. Maybe he's lucky, Matt.
Oh, how so?
Oh, forget it, Matt. Just one of those nights, I guess.
Yeah. Would a drink help, maybe?
Probably not. But I'll have one anyway. At least it won't do me any harm.
Okay.
Oh, well, I see the Marshal of Dodge is out carousing again.
Hello, Doc.
How are you, Doc?
Oh, my kitty, you look prettier than a basket full of sunflowers.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you do. Oh, say, Matt. You'll never guess who came to my office for help this afternoon.
No, but they got my sympathy, Doc.
It was old Carpus Degg.
Carpus?
Who's Carpus Degg?
Well, he lives in a shack on the river bottom, Kitty. He hunts a little, traps some, keeps pretty much to himself.
What's wrong with him, Doc?
Nothing. He brought me a patient. Too late to do any good, of course. He died right on my operating table.
Oh.
Died of what?
A bullet wound.
You mean somebody was shot this afternoon and you didn't tell me about it?
I didn't figure it was important. Was to Carpus, though. Yes. He looked mighty broken up when he left.
Doc, will you please...
I reckon a man living alone that way without any human friends can get pretty fond of an old hound dog.
A dog?
Yeah. I guess I did forget to mention it was that old spotted hound dog of his that was shot.
Well, how are you, Doc? Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Chester.
Do you think maybe you can get by till payday for that dollar?
Forget it, Chester.
Yes, forget it, Chester. No use looking at me, Chester.
Well, I was just thinking...
Doc, did Carpus have any idea who shot his dog?
If he did, he wasn't saying. but from the look on his face when he walked out, I'm glad it wasn't me.
Now, why would anybody do a thing like that?
Well, I don't know. It's too bad, but there's nothing much to be done about it.
I think maybe I better ride out there in the morning and have a talk with Carvis.
What for?
This wouldn't be the first time that a dog getting killed would finally lead to a man getting killed.
Shack looks deserted, Mr. Dillon. Maybe old Carpenter's gone off somewheres.
And there's somebody cutting wood over there in the draw. Let's leave our horses here in the lean-to, Chester.
All right, sir. Man, it'd have to be a little ouchy to want to live out here all alone this way.
Yeah, maybe it's not a matter of choice.
No company except for a dog. No neighbors for 10 miles or more.
That's not quite that far. Pete Raymer's got a homestead about 2 miles north of here.
Maybe he shot that hound, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. But folks mostly leaves old Carpus to himself.
Yeah, I know.
Hold it there. Right where you are.
Mr. Dillon.
Take it easy, Chester.
Who is it? Speak up there.
It's Matt Dillon, Carpus, and Chester. Now, you better put that rifle down.
Oh. Well, I didn't recognize you, Marshal. My eyes ain't what they used to be. I thought maybe it was... Well...
You thought what?
Well, I just didn't know.
You mean you thought it might be whoever shot your dog, huh?
Oh, Doc told you about that, huh?
I'm sorry to hear it, Cubs.
I'd had Danny Boy 11 years, Marshal. He was going blind pretty near bad as me. And he sure weren't no use to hunt with no more. But I'll say one thing, Marshal. I'd have given my right arm rather than lose that hound. I reckon folks should call it crazy, but that's how I felt.
Well, living alone, I guess a man learns to appreciate a dog.
Well, he understood every word that was said to him just as good as you or me. By evenings... We'd sit there in my shack, and I'd talk to him, and... Well, we won't be doing that no more now.
Who do you think shot him?
Let's walk back up to the shack, Marshal. It's getting mighty cold standing here.
All right.
Hey, look, yonder. Here goes a rabbit. Look at that darn fool run.
He's sure scratching gravel.
Danny Boy'd been after him like a shot. He'd have lost him right off, but he'd sure give it a try. Rabbits, coyotes, prairie chickens. He'd chase anything that moved. Blundering along, blind as a bat, baying his lungs out.
Carpus, you have any idea why anybody would want to shoot him?
Because they're playing low down mean, that's why. There ain't no other reason for doing a thing like that. Well, come on inside.
All right.
Ain't nothing fancy, but it keeps the weather off. I have some coffee going here in a couple of minutes, Marshal, if you're mind to set a spell.
Well, don't go to any bother on our account.
No, no, it's no bother. Just get a few more logs in here. I ain't sure I can scare up 3 mugs, though. It's kind of unusual having callers here. Folks have always acted like I had the plague or something.
Well, people get caught up in their own troubles, I guess, Carvis. Just... get too busy sometimes to be neighborly.
Yeah, man can get lonesome, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Pete Raymer and his missus ever drop by here?
No, never.
Uh-huh. Where'd you find the dog after he'd been shot?
I didn't find him. He found me. He come dragging himself back here to the cabin. I rushed him right into dock, but it was too late.
And you don't know where it happened, then?
Yes, I know. I followed his trail back this morning. It was on a brushy draw, About a mile from here.
Out toward the Raymer place?
You know, more or less. I'll take care of it, Marshal. You just stay out of it. Law's for people and not for dumb animals.
Your dog wasn't shot by a dumb animal, Carpus.
I'll settle it in my own way.
Then you know who did it.
Well, I know, all right. And I'll see they pay for it, too.
That kind of paying for it gets out of hand sometimes.
I'm the one that suffered the loss. It's my concern, not the
Carpus,
law.
Carpus, come out here.
Somebody's out there in the yard.
You hear me?
Get out. Get out on the floor. Well, it seems like one of your neighbors has finally come calling on you, Carpus.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe. Joe. Joe.
Yeah. I'm up. I forget breakfast. I'll shave at work.
Joe, it's not time to go to work.
Then why'd you wake me up?
You were snoring.
How about that?
You were snoring loud.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to quiet you.
I thought I was quiet.
You sounded like a buzzsaw going through a pine knot.
Pretty good. I wish I could be with you at 2:30 in the morning.
You can go back to sleep now.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You can get a good night's sleep, too. Our savings bonds will protect us.
Huh?
They protect us. The money we invest is used to protect our country and its freedoms. Why, all around us, we can see the safeguards that our bonds have paid for.
How about that?
So, you see, when you buy that savings bond with every paycheck, you're really investing in a secure night's sleep.
Not in this house, I'm not.
What?
Good night, Daphne.
Good night, Joe.
Out there, Marshal.
You heard me, you mangy old weasel. Come on out here.
He's aiming to kill me.
But why?
Well, I don't rightly know, but he fired a bullet through the window, didn't he?
All right, Carpus, you stay away from the door. You too, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Raymer, it's Matt Dillon. You hold your fire. I'm coming out.
I didn't know you was in there, Marshal.
No, I guess you didn't.
You understand, I wasn't aiming to shoot nobody.
Is that so?
No. Just trying to throw a scare into him. Into old Carpus, I mean. Bring him to his senses, maybe.
Has he been out of his senses?
Well, he sure act like it. Marshal, you know what he'd done this morning? He tried to shoot my kid's dog. Yeah. Snuck up through the brush, took a shot at her. Sonny, seen him do it.
Any idea what it caused him to do a thing like that?
Dang if I know. He's just crazy, I reckon. He always been in my touch. You know that. That's why folks around here just stay shy of him.
Well, that might work both ways, Rimmer.
How's that?
Being lonesome, acting strange. They kind of go together sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe.
Are you the one who shot his dog?
What? If he says that, he's a liar. I ain't even seen that old hound for a week. Didn't know he was shot till you told me. Anybody says I done that is a liar.
Well, I say you done it, Raymer. You calling me a liar?
I'm calling you anything you are.
Right.
You
wait a minute, both of
listen
you.
To. Marshal, is that what he told you, that I killed his dog?
No, he didn't tell me anything. He said he'd take care of it himself.
Yes, and I will, too.
That's what you was doing, sneaking and, around my place
and,
this morning.
And eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's the law of the scripture.
All right,
Raymer.
You just take warning from me right now. I catch you around my place one more time, I'm going to put a bullet in
you. Well, I ain't too bad to shot myself,
you
Raymer.
Better be a good
I'll
shot.
If
you
get
all right,
you
shut up, both of you.
Place.
Shut up. It's like I told you, coppers, this way of paying for things comes high sometimes.
Danny Boy was the only thing I had in the world, Marshal.
Well, then you ought to find out who killed him instead of coming around and scaring my kid half to death.
I know who killed
him. Sonny come running home like old Scratch yourself was after him, yelling. It's Mr. Dagg, he's yelling. He just took a shot at my dog. Oh, Carpus, if I could have got my hands on you.
Wait a minute, right Rimer. Then. Wait a minute. Is that really what he said?
I ain't known to be a liar, Marshal.
The exact words, I mean.
Well, that's the gospel, so hell. If lightning was to strike me, then right now where I stand.
All right, all right. I suppose we all ride over to your place, Rimer.
My place?
Yeah. I want to talk to Sonny.
What for?
It might help to prevent a murder.
Well, there's the kid, Marshal, right there in front of the barn. Sonny? Sonny?
Yeah, Pop?
Come on over here a minute, Sonny, will you? Marshal wants to talk to you.
Marshal?
Yeah, come on. Here, Sonny, come back.
He run into the barn, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Well, can't figure what come over that boy, Marshal.
Well, we'll soon find out. Maybe it'd be better if you and Carpus stayed here with the horses, Rimer.
You say so?
Keep an eye on him, Chester. Don't let him get into an argument.
All right, sir.
Can't figure why Sonny'd run into that barn. Anyway, just like you see the goat. Don't figure why the marshal
would talk.
Sonny. What do you want?
I want to talk to you. I want you to open the door.
Go away.
You can't get away from a thing by hiding from it, Sonny.
Go on away, Marshal. I got a gun in here.
Oh? Uh-huh. Good, I'd like to see it.
No.
All right, Sonny, I'll give you just 3 seconds, so open this door and I'll move.
All right, Marshal. Go ahead and arrest me if you want to, but please don't let Mr. Dagg shoot Nellie.
He won't.
He tried to this morning. That's why I got her tied up here in the barn.
Well, why do you suppose he did it, Sonny?
Why'd he get even? Because I... Well, I guess you know about it, don't you?
Know about what?
It was an accident, Marshal. Cross my heart it was. I was after an old coyote, and he ran into that brush patch. And I went in after him and seen something moving. I thought it was him, so I fired. Only it wasn't. It was that old hound dog of Mr. Diggs.
Oh. A man should never pull a trigger unless he's sure what he's got in his sights, Sonny.
Yes, sir, I know. Pop always told me that, but I just forgot. Now I have to go to jail and...
Now, you stop that kind of talk. You're not going to jail. Hey, Carpus, come over here, will you? You too, Raymer.
I was scared to tell what happened because I knew Pop would be mad and... I didn't think anyone would believe me.
What is it, Marshal?
Carpus, it was the boy here who shot your dog.
It was?
I didn't mean to do it, Mr. Dagg. I thought it was a coyote, but it was old Danny Boy. Well, I know how you like that old hound. I sure feel awful about it.
Are you sure it was an accident?
Yes, sir, it was. Honest, it was.
Well...
Nellie's going to have pups in a couple of weeks, Mr. Dagg. And I'll let you have your choice of the litter. Any one of them you want.
Well, now, that hound of mine was a trained hunter, Sonny. Takes a lot of work to train a young pup.
I'll help you. I'll come over every day as soon as my chores is done and help you train him.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fair offer. This Nellie's a good dog, is she?
She's the best dog in the world. You just take a look at her. Come on, I'll show you.
I'm mighty sorry about this, Carpus.
Yeah, that's all right. It couldn't be helped.
Come on, Mr. Dagg.
Yeah, all right, Sonny. I'm coming.
Yeah. Looks like old Carpus has finally got himself a friend, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Looks like two, though, Chester. Counting the pup.
According to Thomas Jefferson, equal justice to all men, regardless of their political or religious beliefs, is an essential principle of our political philosophy. The amendments to our Constitution spell out what we mean by justice. For example, no one can conduct an unreasonable search of our homes or businesses, or seize any of our belongings. We can't be held for a capital or infamous crime unless we are first indicted by a grand jury. And we are entitled to a speedy and a public trial by an impartial jury. The accused has a right to confront the witnesses against him, and he can force witnesses who could aid his case to testify. Of course, he cannot be made to testify against himself. He is entitled to the help of a lawyer, and he cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. These are definitions in our Dictionary of Freedom. Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 30th, 1956 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And if you were perusing the radio dial in Los Angeles on the night of September 30th, 1951, you could have tuned in to KNX for comedy from Red Skelton, commentary and thoughts from Gabriel Heater on KHJ, music from Request Performance on KGFJ, or this episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers on NBC affiliate KFI. This episode called Death Shaft.
From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jake Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Death Shaft.
It is 9:30 a.m., November 18th, 1941, in the Big Bend country of West Texas. J.C. Wilford of the Bureau of Mines and Fred Blaisdell are winding up a narrow dirt road toward Blaisdell's abandoned mine in Black Hawk Canyon.
How long did you say it's been since you operated your mine, Mr. Blaisdell?
I never have operated, Wilford. It was left me by my brother when he passed on.
Oh, I see.
I always understood there was ore here if you had the money to get it out, but I didn't. So I just let her sit here. Haven't even been near the place for, 2 years anyway. But lately I've been reading that the government's anxious to get some of these mines going again.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in touch with you at the Bureau of Mines to see if you think it's a worthwhile proposition.
Well, if it looks promising at all, we can make a thorough survey, do a little diamond drilling, and see what we've got.
Then if it looks good, you think the government will loan the money to operate it?
Well, that's something I can't answer. All we at the Bureau do is make the recommendation. Hey, pretty desolate country around here, isn't it?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, here we are.
Oh, is that the entrance to the mine ahead?
Yeah, that's it.
All boarded up.
And padlocked. Guess my brother put that door on the entrance to the shaft when he quit working the mine. Yeah, I got my key. That's funny.
What's the matter, Blaze?
Key doesn't seem to fit.
Well, you sure it's the right one?
Yeah. Hey, this isn't the same lock on here.
What?
Well, there was a master padlock on here before. Now it's just a cheap one from a dime store, looks like.
That's strange. Who'd want to switch locks? Why?
I don't know. Somebody must have been snooping around up here. Wait. Piece of iron bar line over here. See if I can pry that lock off.
It's a fairly new lock by the look of it.
Yeah. Okay, let's open her up.
Yeah, I got the flashlight. I better go first.
Okay, Whiffen. Wet in here.
Yeah. These drifts collect a lot of moisture when the mine's not in use. Blaisdell.
What's the matter, Wilton?
Look, they're on the ground in front of us.
Holy smoke, a skeleton.
The clothes just about all rotted away.
And a different padlock on the entrance. Looks like somebody didn't want this skeleton found, Wilton.
Yeah, and if you'll take a look at the skull, you'll see why.
Hey, it's all bashed in.
It sure is. The club or a rock by the look of it. Yeah. Whoever that was, looks like he was murdered.
The two men notified Sheriff Benson, who requested help from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case, joining the sheriff and two men at Blaisdell's mine.
Pretty damp, Sheriff.
Sure is.
You men touch anything in here?
Not a thing, Ranger. After I pried off the new lock, we come inside. But just as soon as we saw the skeleton, we got out in a hurry and called the sheriff. Isn't that right, Wilford?
Yeah, that's right, Ranger.
Well, there it is, Jason.
Yeah. Skull sure is bashed in.
It's pretty hard to tell how long he's been dead, Jason.
Yeah, remains would deteriorate pretty fast in this dampness.
And as far as telling who it is, clothes are all rotted away, so the same would go for any papers he might have been carrying.
Just a minute, Sheriff. Look. These loose rocks on the side here.
All right. Looks like a leather wallet.
It is. Pretty well preserved, too.
Sure. It was a little higher than the skeleton, up out of the wet. Yeah. Pretty lucky for us.
Looks that way.
Any money in it?
No. Just some papers.
Might have been robbery. Killer took the money, then tossed the billfold away. Can you make out the writing on any of the papers?
Gilbert W. Madden.
Madden?
Name mean anything to you, Blaisdell?
I was just trying to think. No, I don't remember ever hearing it before.
How about you, Mr. Wilford? Being from the Bureau of Mines, you probably spend a lot of time around this part of the state. You ever hear the name before?
Madden. It sounds a little familiar, but I can't seem to place it, Ranger. I'm sorry.
Okay. I guess that'll be all for now. Let's get back outside. We want signed statements from you. You can drop around the sheriff's office and make them.
I'll be in this afternoon, if that's okay.
Sure. See you then, Blaisdell.
Come on, Wilfred. I'll give you a lift back to town.
Right.
You through here, Jess?
Not quite. Take this broken padlock along. I want to look at this hasp on the door.
I doubt if you can tell much from that. It's all scratched up where Blaisdell pried off that padlock.
Yeah, I know. There's one thing sort of puzzles me a little, Sheriff.
What is it?
This new lock isn't rusty enough to have been out here in the open for very long.
What do you figure that means?
I won't know until I can get some idea of the approximate time of death. Come on, let's get back to town and start checking on Gilbert Madden. See if we can find out how long ago he was murdered. Back at the sheriff's office, I checked through the missing persons reports and found one on Gilbert Madden filed by his wife 8 months before. Mrs. Madden was promptly notified and requested to meet us at the sheriff's office for routine questioning.
Have a seat, Ms. Madden.
Thank you, Sheriff.
I'm sorry to be asking questions at a time like this, ma'am.
That's all right, Ranger. I don't suppose there's any doubt it was Gil.
I'm afraid not, ma'am. We found his wallet, and the lab confirmed the identification by means of the teeth.
Well, I've felt for some time that Gil must be dead. In a way, it's almost better knowing instead of wondering.
I know. Mrs. Madden, our lab's trying to establish the time of your husband's murder. Now, according to our information, you filed this missing persons report on last March 23rd, a little less than 8 months ago.
That's right.
What were the circumstances surrounding your husband's disappearance?
Well, Gilbert was a mine broker. He made trips in the mining country every now and then. He planned to be away for 2 or 3 weeks, so I decided to visit my relatives in Kansas while he was gone.
I see. When was that?
Right around the 1st of March, as I remember.
And how long were you in Kansas?
3 weeks.
Did you hear from your husband during that time?
Oh, yes, I did. I got a letter from him just a couple of days before I was to return home, saying he would meet my train. But he wasn't at the depot when I arrived. Called all over town trying to locate him, and then when I couldn't, I got worried. And the next day, I filed a report with the police.
Well, let's see. That'd make it about the 20th of March when you got that last letter from your husband. That means he was alive up until the time he mailed it, anyway, which would be about the 18th of March. Come in.
I left my statement with your deputy, Sheriff. Be anything else?
Oh, I reckon not. Mrs. Madden, this is Mr. Blaisdell.
How do you do?
Miss Madden?
Mr. Blaisdell owns the mine where your husband's body was discovered.
Oh.
Sorry to make your acquaintance under this sort of circumstance, Miss Madden.
Sheriff, I'm sure you told me where this mine was over the phone when you notified me, but what with the shock, I don't seem to remember.
Oh, my mine is over in Black Hawk Canyon, Miss Madden.
Black Hawk Canyon?
Does that mean anything to you, Miss Madden?
Oh, Willie.
Who?
Oh, Willie. He lives up in Black Hawk Canyon somewhere.
Look, Mrs. Madden, who is this old Willie?
Well, he has a mine up there. He's a strange old man. He's very eccentric.
Well, what makes you think he had anything to do with this?
Because in that last letter I got from Gilbert, he mentioned something about old Willie pestering him again. I didn't pay much attention to it at the time.
I still don't get the connection between your husband and this old Willie, Mrs. Madden.
Well, you see, about 2 years ago, my husband made a business trip into that region. I went with him. This old Willie was hanging around a little store where we stopped for a cold drink. When he found out my husband was a mine broker, he became very excited. Said he had a valuable mine he wanted Gilbert to look at.
Did your husband inspect Willie's mine?
No, because the storekeeper broke in and told us Willie's mine was worthless. Willie became furious, and finally the storekeeper threw him out.
I see.
Did Willie threaten your husband, Mrs. Madden?
Well, he wrote a few crazy sort of letters to Gilbert, accusing him of being a spy for what he called the big companies.
Mr. Blaisdell, have you ever heard of this old Willie?
No, I haven't, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm not acquainted with anybody in that area.
Jase, I sure think this old Willie is worth questioning.
So do I, Sheriff. We'll head back to Black Hawk Canyon and see if we can find him. Right now, he sounds like a first-class murder suspect.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Here's great news for all of you Western fans. Beginning next Friday on most NBC stations, Roy Rogers, the King of the Cowboys, and Dale Evans, the Queen of the West, will bring you the new Roy Rogers Show. Yes, beginning next Friday, be sure to listen for Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Trigger in New Adventures in Paradise Valley. It's the Roy Rogers Show, Friday, on most NBC stations. Be sure to listen.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers, and tonight's case, Death Shaft, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
As a matter of routine, I checked up on Mrs. Madden's story of her visit to relatives in Kansas and quickly confirmed the fact that she was there during the period she had stated. Next, Sheriff Benson and I drove to the small general store in Black Hawk Canyon and questioned the storekeeper.
Oh, Willie? Sure, I know him, Ranger. Comes in here once a month regular for supplies. Crazy as a coot.
Where does he live, Price?
About 20 miles up the canyon. He's got a no-count mine up on East Rim. Of course, he thinks it's just chock full of ore.
Mr. Price, I want you to think back about 2 years ago. An incident involving old Willie and a mine broker named Madden is supposed to have taken place here in your store. You remember anything about it?
Sure do. Willie started giving this mine broker the usual jaw-wagging about his mine being valuable. So I figured I better stick more in and tell the fellow Willie's mine wasn't worth a dadburn cent.
What happened then?
Oh, Willie flew off the handle in his crazy way, started sprouting a bunch of threats and other loony talk, so I finally had to kick him out of the store.
Well, Jase, that sure checks with what Miss Madden told us.
Yeah. Mr. Price, can you give us directions for finding Willie's place? We'd like to pay him a visit.
Well, pretty rough country up there.
And we got horses in the trailer outside.
Oh, well, in that case, you can make it all right. You'll find the trail leading north off the road up ahead about 5 miles. Stick to the trail until they cross a dry creek. Then you'll see another trail taking off up the side of the canyon.
And the second trail leads us to Willie's mine, huh?
Yep. Of course, may not find him there.
Why not?
He's pretty skitterish about visitors.
That's just why I want to pay him a visit. See if he's got anything to be skitterish about. We should be just about there, Sheriff.
Yeah, by a climb. Looks like we're directly across the canyon from Blaisdell's mine.
Listen, Burl. See Willie.
We're close, all right.
Once we get around this bend in the trail, yeah. And it looks like some diggings up ahead there.
And just take a look at that shack there.
Some place. Galvanized iron, tar paper, cardboard. I wonder what keeps it up.
Probably that stovepipe sticking up through the center of the roof.
Yeah, it's smoking, too. Willie must be home, all right. Ooh, ooh, charcoal.
Oh, oh, boy. Would you look at the junk he's got hanging on the outside walls? Pieces of barbed wire, tin cans, keys, bottles.
Looks like Willie's part pack rat.
Hmm. The door's open.
Nobody inside.
Inside looks like the outside, only more so. Wonder where...
Hold it.
Hmm?
Look, over there in the bushes.
Yeah, something moved, all right.
Willie, come out of there. Willie!
Hey, somebody's coming out all right. Sure don't look very friendly with that rifle.
What do you fellas want?
You throw that rifle down and we'll tell you.
You got no call to come poking around my property.
You're wrong there, Willie. This is Sheriff Benson and I'm Ranger Pearson. We want to ask you a few questions. Now drop that rifle and come over here.
You think I'm going to tell you about my mine, don't you? Yeah, and I'm not.
Now, just a minute, Willie.
You want to get it away from me just like all the rest. You're spies for them, that's what you are. You come poking around here trying
to... What are you
get...
talking about, Willie? Spies for whom?
For the big companies. They all want my mine because they know it's right smack dab on the biggest vein in the county. That's why they send spies snooping around here, like you two.
I don't know, Jase.
Willie... Have you ever been near the Blaisdell mine across the canyon from here?
It ain't as good as this it is.
Answer my question. Have you ever been near there?
Yeah, maybe.
How long ago?
Oh, a couple of days.
What were you doing over there?
Patrolling.
What do you mean, patrolling?
Oh, I patrol all over. Gotta watch for the spies.
Hmm. Ever hear the name Gilbert Madden?
He ain't gonna never get my mine. All I need's a little money to operate.
I asked you a question, Willie. Have you ever hear of Gilbert Madden?
You heard him, Willie.
Yeah, maybe I have and maybe I ain't. You fellas come up here spying just like he.
Just like who? Madden?
Think you're pretty smart, don't you? But you're not going to trap me. He had his chance to get me money for the mine, but he wouldn't.
That why you killed him?
Yeah. Yeah, you think you're going to get me confused with your smart talk, don't you? Well, you ain't. I ain't got too much on my mind patrolling to worry about kidding anybody.
Yeah? I wonder. We got a witness that you had a fight with Madden. And furthermore...
Just a minute, Sheriff.
What is it?
Just happened to notice something hanging on the outside wall here.
Just a bunch of old rusty keys.
Yeah. But this one isn't as rusty as the rest.
Well, let me see.
Jase, that key's the same make as the lock Blaisdell pried off the entrance to his mine.
That's right, Sheriff. Come here, Willie.
Hey, what you want?
Where'd you get this key?
Say, that's a good one. You want to trade some?
Where'd you get it?
I saved keys.
Quit stalling, Willie. Where'd you get it?
Coming around here asking me all kinds of questions. You got no call.
Look at that padlock back in my office, Jase. I'm sure interested to see whether this key fits it.
So am I. Come on, Willie. Get your burro. We're going to take a ride.
Making me come down here with you fellas. You think I'm not wise, do you?
Padlock's in my desk here.
You get me down here while one of your other spies snoops around my mine. Takes all samples.
Here it is.
Let's have it. Okay, now I'll try this key in it.
Fits.
Sure does.
Well, I guess that does it, all right.
Can I go now?
No, Willie. I don't think you'll be going anywhere for quite a spell.
The sheriff booked Willie, but we were unable to get any sort of coherent statement out of him. Finally, we locked him up and went back into the sheriff's office.
Well, regardless of whether or not he gives us a confession, I suppose we could get a conviction, all right?
Maybe. Unless they find him mentally incompetent.
Even so, they'll put him away.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking. Be pretty rough on him if he happened to be innocent, wouldn't it?
You'd be innocent? Now, Jake.
Yeah, I know. We have two witnesses to the fact that Willie threatened Gilbert Madden.
That's right. Mrs. Madden and the storekeeper. But what clinches it is a padlock on Blaisdell's mine, Jase. That key we found at Willie's shack fits it. That's about as solid evidence as there is, seems to me.
I wonder.
What do you mean?
A couple of things about this don't feel quite right to me, Sheriff.
Well, what, for instance?
Well, near as the lab can figure, Madden was murdered about 8 months ago.
That's right, last March.
But the lock Blaisdell broke off the mine entrance was hardly rusty at all. And neither was the key we found hanging out in the open at Willie's shack.
What's wrong with that, Jase? Willie broke off the original lock when he hid Madden's body.
But Madden died 8 months ago, and that second lock couldn't have been on the hasp that long.
Well, maybe Willie didn't put the lock on right away. Maybe later he got to worrying about somebody discovering the body and, well, that's when he put it on.
Sheriff, the time you're most worried about a body being discovered is right after you've killed a man, not several months later.
Sure, that's the way a sensible person would react. But remember who we're dealing with. Old Willie, who's not exactly what you call a sensible man.
I know, Sheriff. But then there's the part about the key hanging right out in plain sight at Willie's shack.
Now, Jase, you said yourself Willie was part pack rat. Remember all the other junk he had hanging around the shack?
Sure I do, Sheriff. I also remember what Willie said when we showed him that key. Say, that's a good one. Just like he'd never noticed it before.
What are you getting at, Jase?
Maybe Willie did kill Madden, but it seems to me there's a bare chance he didn't.
Then how'd he get that key?
Oh, he could have found it, or it could have been planted there.
That'd be awful tough to prove either way, Jase.
Sure it would. But as long as it's a possibility, we're not closing the case. Come on, let's talk to Mrs. Madden and see if she can give us a line on anybody besides old Willie who might have a reason for killing her husband. We drove out to the Madden house, but Mrs. Madden was unable to give us any new information. She suggested we go through her husband's business records, which were in a spare room he'd used for an office. So the sheriff and I started in. But an hour later, the only things we found just made it look all the worse for Willie.
What do you got, Jase?
A bunch of letters written on wrapping paper, addressed to Madden. Crazy, threatening letters.
Who wrote them?
You guess.
Willie?
Yeah, Willie. Listen, you better watch out. I ain't going to let you steal my mind.
That's Willie, all right. Rest of them like that?
Yeah. All six of them.
Well, Jase, it looks all the worse for Willie now. We've been through just about all Madden's records and papers. And these threatened letters are all we come up with.
Yeah, and from the looks of it, Madden kept records of just about everything. Well, we might as well put these papers back, I guess.
Okay. What do you got there?
A pile of canceled checks.
Hand them over, and I'll stick them here in the drawer.
Okay, just thumbing through them. I guess there's nothing here. Hey.
What is it?
Sheriff, look at this check. It's dated 2 years ago.
Hmm?
Let's see. Well, what about it? It's just made out the cash and signed by Madden.
Yeah, but take a look at this pencil writing up in the corner.
Pencil writing? Let's... Well, I'll be.
So will I. Come on.
Going to make an arrest?
Not yet. I need more proof, and I think I know a way to get it. Just go along with whatever I say.
Sure, Jace.
Did you find anything that's been helping Gilbert's papers, Range Pearson?
I think we did, Mrs. Madden. You said you accompanied your husband on his business trip into the Black Hawk Canyon area 2 years ago.
That's right.
Why'd he go there?
Well, just to size up the situation, find out what mines were for sale.
I see. He didn't actually transact any business, though.
No. Of course, this Willie wanted him to come up and see his mine, but when the storekeeper told us the mine was no good...
Yeah. And you stayed right with your husband the whole trip?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am.
You say you found something in Gilbert's papers?
Well, we don't know for sure, so I'd like to give you a receipt for these canceled checks. I want more time to examine them. Here you are.
Canceled checks?
Yeah. It looks like one of them's going to take the wrong man out of jail and put the right man in. Come on, Sheriff.
I see. Well, I'm glad to hear it. If there's anything more I can do...
We'll let you know, Mrs. Madden. Goodbye.
She's lying, Jace.
Like a trooper.
What now?
We'll watch her. Have one of your deputies keep an eye on him. We don't want him to get away, but we don't want to pick him up yet either.
Okay, I'll call my office from the drugstore.
I'll wait in my car around the corner. Meet me there. The sheriff made his call and rejoined me. We sat in my car waiting. And a little after dark, Mrs. Madden's car pulled away from our house, heading out of town. We followed, keeping well back. 2 miles out of town, she pulled off the highway, parked behind another car, got out and headed into the brush. The sheriff and I worked our way slowly and quietly in the direction she'd taken.
Should be around here somewhere.
Yeah. Keep it as quiet as possible, Sheriff.
Reckon she came out here to meet him.
Looks like. Listen.
Yeah. I hear him talking. Look, in that clearing ahead.
Yeah, let's ease up a little.
You little fool, you must have overlooked something when you went through those records.
No, I'm sure I didn't, Fred. I found the entry he made where you paid him for appraising your mine 2 years ago. I tore it out. There's nothing in those records to show the two of you knew each other.
You're wrong there, ma'am. Hold it real steady, Blaisdell.
Pearson.
Yeah. So the two of you didn't know each other until I introduced you, huh? You've been in it together ever since you met 2 years ago.
Clara, you little fool. You were tricked into coming out here so they could catch us together. They didn't have any proof of anything.
I got proof right here in my pocket that you lied when you said you didn't know Madden, Blaisdell.
Yeah, what kind of proof?
Something you overlooked, Mrs. Madden. A check made out to cash.
What?
You didn't notice the pencil writing on it.
Pencil writing?
Your husband made a notation that the check was to cover expenses of a trip he'd made to appraise Blaisdell's mine 2 years ago. You told me you were with your husband the whole trip. So you lied about not knowing Blaisdell.
Clara, you stupid...
You gotta listen to me. I didn't want any part of it, but Blaisdell forced me to.
What's that?
I'm in the clear. I was in Kansas when it happened. Blaisdell killed my husband.
Oh, that's how you stick by me, is it? Why, you little...
Hold it, Blaisdell.
You're not going to get away free, Clara. I guarantee that. Sure, I killed Madden Ranger, but it was her idea.
That's a lie.
Right from the start, it was her idea. How to go about it. Put the body in my own mind and change luck.
She's lying, Ranger.
Plant the key at Willie's shack, pretend she and I didn't know each other. Then produce the body so she could collect on the insurance. All of it was her idea.
You shut up.
You shut up. I'm not half finished yet. Got a witch out on me, will you? Wait till I get through spilling.
Shut up.
You know, Sheriff, strikes me we've only got one problem left.
What's that, Jace?
Getting them to talk slow enough so a stenographer can get it all down. Come on, both of you.
Fred Blaisdell and Clara Madden were indicted and placed on trial for the brutal murder of Gilbert Madden. For her part in the crime, Clara was sentenced to 50 years in the women's prison at Gorey. On the morning of May 3rd, 1942, Blaisdell was put to death in the electric chair.
And now, here's the star of our show, Joel McRae.
Hello, folks. First of all, we want to thank you kindly for the many wonderful letters and cards we received during the summer months. It's mighty heartwarming to know we have so many good friends. As a matter of fact, the Rangers themselves have received quite a few of your letters, too. And like us, they certainly appreciated hearing from you. I'm sure that most of you will recall reading about a great Texas Ranger captain who retired from active duty on July 31st of this year. Some of our stories have been based on his exploits. He's the famous Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez, whose favorite guns are engraved with the code he has always lived by in his colorful career. Never draw me without cause, nor shield me without dishonor. Tomorrow, it'll be exactly 31 years since Lone Wolf was sworn in as a Texas Ranger. And as in the past year, so in the years to come, we are proud to have him as our technical advisor. Congratulations, Cap. See you next week, folks.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Cattle Drive. The cast included Tony Barrett, Bill Johnstone, Lamont Johnson, Ken Christie, Betty Lou Gerson, and Brad Brown. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Bob Reif, and the program is produced and directed by Stacy Keith. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday from September 30th, 1951 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBeaunier. Thanks for listening.